Last week, today, and for the next 3 weeks, so 5 weeks altogether, the whole church reads and meditates on the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, St. John's beautiful explanation of the Eucharist. Last week, we read about the multiplication of loaves. This week, we begin what's called the Bread of Life discourse, which begins with Jesus' promise of a great sign. Now, there are many different kinds of signs in the world. Some signs tell us facts. For example, the signs in front of the church by the doors that tell us about the lighting project and the schedule for the Mass, etc. Still, other signs symbolize something that brings that thing to memory, like a picture of a loved one. And then there are signs that are very special, signs we call sacraments. Signs that Jesus himself has given us, which don't merely communicate facts or memories, but actually bring about and embody Christ's love, presence, and power, his grace in our lives. Today's gospel picks up where we left off last week, right after Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus had shown the people a great sign of his power, a sign communicating the fact of Jesus' power and also a sign that called to mind a memory, the memory of the Jewish people of the manna that God had given them, the Israelites in the desert, 1,300 years before, as we read about in today's first reading. With all this, even though this miracle satisfied the miracle of the 5,000 satisfied their physical hunger, it only served to arouse in them a much deeper spiritual hunger, the hunger to know that God was still with them, just as he had been with their ancestors in the desert. And so they asked Jesus for something more, for a dramatic and definitive sign that would convince them that God had sent Jesus to show him his love and presence. And so they say, what sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. But Jesus knows that no mere symbol will satisfy their hunger. The only sign that could do that is the sign that we call the incarnation. That is the fact that God the Son himself became a man. The true embodiment and the actual physical presence of God in the world for all to know, to hear, to teach, and to touch. Unfortunately, this sign was not that easy to comprehend to simple human reason. And so the crowd asked for a sign that will force them to understand and to have faith in him. Something that will either conquer or convince their reason or compel them to accept him. But Jesus knows that they have it backwards. First comes faith. They must first have faith, and then before their reasonable minds will recognize the sign of his coming. As he says, this is the work of God. Have faith in the one he sent. Now, I mentioned before that pictures are a kind of sign. Once when I was a little boy, I saw a picture of my father with his arm around a woman. Now, my father was a young man. Probably this was 1950, and the young woman was a young woman. But you couldn't see the woman's face. Now, someone who didn't know my father might have wondered who that woman was. Who did he have his arm around? Was it some old girlfriend? Was it somebody? Was he cheating on my mother? But when I saw the picture for the first time, having faith in my father, I knew automatically who it was. It was my mother. That's the effect that faith can have on the mind's understanding of signs. We see things in a whole different light. Not illogically, but enlightened. What was not even noticed before now becomes suddenly obvious. This is what Jesus was talking about And it's what St. Paul was talking about when he told the Ephesians, as we read in today's second reading. He said, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. That is not how you learn Christ. You should be renewed in the spirit of your minds. In other words, have faith. So in the light of faith, when Christ says that God has set his seal on him, or when he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father, we believe him. And not because he's proven it beyond all rational doubt, but because our reason understands the signs in the light of our faith in Jesus. But Jesus knows that he will not remain in the world, in his body, that the sign of his presence, God's presence, that is his physical incarnate body, would eventually leave us, ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. So he promised to leave behind another sign that is not just a mere symbol, but a sign that also personifies God's presence and makes him truly present substantially in the world. And so he promises us in today's gospel. He says, I am the bread of life. And next week, as we continue to read this text, he'll tell us, the bread I will give you is my flesh. The bread that I will give is real food. Jesus promised to give us bread that will remain with us as a continuous sign of his real presence in the world. But how does bread signify Jesus' presence in the world? Symbolically, of course, the bread reminds us of several things. First of all, bread was a sign of food in general. It is the most basic food in every culture, so it represents all food. And so the Jews, when they talked about the bread from heaven, they thought of the great prophecies of when the Messiah came, that he would come and bring not just bread, but the bread that he would give would really be a great feast that would be abundant and everyone would eat this beautiful, wonderful food that they summarized with the idea of bread. In particular, it also reminded the Jews about the wedding feast of heaven. And it reminds us of that as well. The wedding feast that St. John talks about in the book of Revelation. The wedding feast of the Lamb, or as we say at Mass, the supper of the Lamb. Bread also has had a part of the ritual sacrifices offered in the Old Testament. For example, in the Passover sacrifice, the main sacrifice of the year, also included not only a lamb, but also an offering of bread. And every Sabbath, on the Sabbath, the high priest would offer bread and put it in front of the Holy of Holies in the inner sanctum of the temple. It was called the showbread, or the bread of the presence. And then they would take the bread that had been there all week, and the priest would eat that bread. But they'd have replaced it with new bread. So there was always this offering, this continuous weekly offering of bread, always before the Lord as a symbol of their continuing sacrifice to the Lord. The renewal, the constant renewal of their covenant with him. And for Christians, bread reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the new Passover, and the new Passover of the new covenant that Jesus initiated on the cross, and that we renew continuously at every Mass, every day, but of course, especially on the new Sabbath, on Sunday Mass. But the most important sign value behind the bread is the way it communicates God's actual true presence to us. In the Old Testament, the manna that God gave the Jews in their long exodus to the Promised Land was more than just simply physical food. To them, when they woke up every morning and there was that bread on the ground that had come down from heaven, it reminded them and said to them, God has provided for you today. He hasn't abandoned you. He's here today. Now begin your journey and he'll travel with you. He is present to you. And in the same way, the Eucharist reminds us that God is present with us every day. It is truly our daily bread, providing us everything we need to complete our journey to heaven. These and other symbolic elements of the Eucharist grow out of Jewish symbols, but there are some symbolic elements that are rather unique to Christians and the Eucharist. In particular, by choosing this rich symbol of bread, Jesus communicates that he wants to be with us no longer simply nebulously present in a fiery cloud out there or sending food down here. No, Christ has come among us in the flesh and wants to remain with us in the flesh. And so just as he entered into humanity by taking on our human flesh, in the Eucharist, he actually enters into us, into our mouths, into our flesh, into our bodies, into ourselves. By eating the Eucharistic bread, which is no bread at all, really, but Jesus himself, God enters into us and unites his body to our bodies, his spirit to our spirit, his person to our person. United by a symbol, but not merely a symbol. A reality, a truth, a real presence. Now, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," the apostles most probably didn't understand exactly what he was talking about. Peter couldn't have gotten up probably after that and given the homily that I'm giving right now. But because they had faith in Jesus, they had faith that somehow that what he said would come to pass, that he had the power to make it happen. Even though they didn't understand the power, even though they didn't understand what he was going to do, what was this bread he was going to give them that was really his flesh. But they believed he would do it. So at the end of the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6, St. Peter professes his faith in what Jesus has said. Jesus says, after some people walk away saying, "This is too hard to believe," Jesus turns to the apostles and said, "Will you also leave?" And he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" He says, "You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. You have the words, and we believe your word. We believe what you say, because you're God." And after a few months later, on the night he was betrayed, in the midst of a long speech that Jesus gave that had many confusing but wonderful things, where he said things like, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I pray that they may be one, even as you and I are one. I in them, and they in me." The same apostles, after hearing this, saw him take the bread, bless it, break it, and give it to them. And they remembered that he had done the exact same thing. He took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them before he fed the 5,000. But now, as he hands them the bread, he says, "This is my body." And they also remember the words that he spoke right after feeding the 5,000. "I am the bread of life." And they believed in him. And so they believed in the sign was what he said it was. The fundamental belief in the Eucharist is this: Jesus said it, and we believe it. Today we participate in this great, mysterious, and wonderful sign. As the priest holds the bread in his hands and says those very same words of the Lord, "This is my body," Jesus becomes actively and really and bodily present on the altar under the sacramental sign of bread and wine. Nothing we can do can change this fact. It truly is Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. But if we refuse to believe this sign is what Jesus says it is, then we will continue to hunger and thirst for other signs to satisfy our desire to know that we are in God's presence and in his love. And we will never find anything that will satisfy that hunger. If, however, we come to the Eucharist believing in Jesus and the sign, the sacrament that he gives to us, then the promise will be fulfilled. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.